And welcome back to Talk Louisiana. I'm Julie Baxter Payer, sitting in for Jim Engster today. And you know Ed Cullen from his long popular column, Attic Salt, in the Sunday Advocate newspaper here in the capital city. Ed retired in 2013 from his regular column, but he's still writing regularly. You can read him in the Farmer's Almanac, the Baton Rouge Business Report, Country Roads, and he's a contributor to All Things Considered, too, here on public radio. Ed, it is great to have you back on Talk Louisiana. You visit throughout the year, I know, and I'm so honored to have you on one of the shows, even when Jim is not here. So welcome back to the conversation, Ed. It's been a bumpy year in 2018, lots of noisy controversies, and somehow you're a journalist who knows politics and yet never lost his sense of humor. Where do we stand as we look into 2019 right now?
It beats me. Because I don't have to follow the news as closely as I once did, I don't know how people write daily columns or even columns three times a week. It was all I could do to write a column one day a week, Sundays, in the people section for about 38 years. And I remember one time Jim Hughes, the executive editor over both papers, the State Times and the Advocate, called me in, and he said, how much we pay you for that column you write? And because the Advocate, neither the Advocate nor the State Times had ever had a personal column. And management didn't really have, I never had a problem with Doug Manship Sr., nor any of the other Manships who ran the paper. But the editors had a problem with personal columns because they thought it could get in the way of, if I was covering City Hall and I drew something from City Hall that week and made fun of something or satirized something, or they thought it interfered with my covering them. And, of course, it didn't. For one thing, I was on all the beats, but I was never on, I never had a beat that I was responsible for all the time. I was always just jumping in, which is what general assignment people do. They jump in and help other reporters. I wrote features too, and then they really weren't interested in my writing a personal column. But Charlie Lindsay in the Sunday magazine always had space to fill. So that's where I started. And I think Charlie paid me what he was paying some bug company to run a column on how to kill insects. But Jim called me in and said, how much you making? And I told him, and he said, well, I don't know. He said, do you think that's enough? And I said, no, it's not enough. I'd like to make more. And he started to ask me how much time I spent on a column each week, and then he answered his own question. He said, I guess you think about it all the time. And you truly do. I mean, Danny Heitman woke up this morning. If he didn't write ahead to take off for the holidays, he woke up this morning thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to say Sunday? He inherited my space in the people section.
How would you, as you look back over this year, how would you, you've done, as you said, general assignment, politics, features, how would you grade our governor nearly 3 years into his first term here in Louisiana?
Yeah. Well, you know what, my reading is always months, years, decades behind, but I'm reading Alford and McGinnis's book. No, not McGinnis. Alford and another writer for The Advocate who came after me. But their book is about John Bel Edwards' election as governor, and it is a really well reported, well written book, and anybody who's worked as a reporter or in political campaigns will recognize these settings. I mean, I can't think of Jeff Lacaze running against John Rarick, and then Lacaze against Henson Moore when Henson Moore was elected to Congress the first time, without thinking of sausage biscuits. And we were in some place in, I don't know, Tangipahoa somewhere, and we're at this couple's house, and they were hosting Mr. Moore that morning. And we would start the day off at just like, you know, like 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. One time there was a party at my house, and the last few people just would not leave. And I said, okay, fine. And I went to bed, and it was spring, and the windows were open. And I could hear these two jackasses, my friends, talking in the driveway. I mean, they weren't going home. And I fell asleep listening to them talk, and then the alarm went off like 5 minutes later, and I was at Exxon joining Henson Moore's team. And that morning in Tangipahoa, we were all starving to death, and the smell of these sausage biscuits was just pulling everybody out of the living room and into this woman's kitchen. And, you know, that's a political race. There's behind-the-scenes stuff, and, you know, a lot of credit's given to these campaign managers now, but the thing I liked about Edwards, he seemed to be his own man. He seemed to be running his own campaign. I'm sure he had plenty of help from whoever he hired to run his campaign and the people who worked in the campaign. But Edwards seemed to me to be a throwback in a good way. You know, our Louis the 14th senator, junior senator, I could take him a lot better if he was wearing the Sun King's cutaway frocks and had his hair piled on top of his head and ringlets coming down, because he clearly he's of another time, and he belongs in a palace, not the floor of the Congress. John Bel Edwards, such a contrast. It would have been interesting if John Kennedy had run against Edwards. But, yeah, I mean, I think Edwards...
Sounds like you're thankful for a return to some normalcy in some manner at
yeah,
at the
you know what? That's exactly right. And it must be tempting for Edwards or anybody who's had a good first 4 years, and I think he has, not gotten a whole lot of cooperation from the legislature, but certainly done more than, you know, any recent governors. It must be tempting for him to say, well, you know, it's good 4 years, and the second 4 years is always it just never works out the way it's supposed to, and the last 2 years are downhill, or you're thinking about running for the Senate or president or whatever it is you're thinking about. Must be tempting to say, okay, 4 years is really all anybody should have to do as governor.
But it seems like no governor is ever satisfied with that. I mean, governors, like you say, they want to run for that second term, and they also want to usually aspire to higher offices after that. So that seems to be a tradition here in Louisiana, too. I know we have Phil from Jefferson Terrace on the line. Okay. Phil, thank you for being so patient and waiting. We're going to have to cut to a break in just a little bit, so I want to give you time for your question to Ed Cullen. Ed, I know that you are also this year helping a very popular event at LSU for book lovers, and I want to give you a chance to talk about that. I know you've maybe gotten away a little bit for the holidays, done a little camping over the years, and this past year.
Right.
We want to talk about that.
When you come back, say Louisiana feed your soul.
Welcome back to Talk Louisiana. I'm Julie Baxter Payer, sitting in for Jim Engster today. And we're joined by Ed Cullen, who's been talking with us about 2018, looking ahead to 2019. Ed, we do want to talk about Louisiana Feed Your Soul. We do want to talk about camping at the Kasachi Bayou and Chico. But I just want to give Phil from Jefferson Terrace a quick chance to talk with you. He called in. Phil, what's your question for Ed?
Hey, Phil.
Well, okay, I've met Representative Julie Stokes and Fred Mills in the Louisiana legislature, and they're just wonderful people, and they are who they are. They love serving the public. One of my questions is, I just think that there's so much of the negative ad campaigns and politics, and frankly, some people who are really just nasty individuals and shouldn't be in power at all. And my other question is that would you write whether you got paid for it or not?
Thank you, Phil.
No, Phil. I would not write unless I got paid for it. It's what I do. To make a living, or what I did for 41 years, I still do some writing. But no, I mean, you know, it's you. I think your relationship with people is better if you're paid. You take it more seriously; they take it more seriously. And as far as the negative campaigning, I agree, and you know, far too much of it. It doesn't convey any information. And that was another thing about Edwards. Kennedy was always sniping at him. And Edwards just parried the little knife sticks. Just kind of went on with what he was doing, and with one hand was sword fighting Kennedy and winning.
You know, Ed, when we talk about paying for writing, that's something that it's an important sort of topic of conversation and notion in the journalism world today with all the online coverage and so many, many people getting away from actually receiving the paper, hard copy of the paper. The idea that we ought to maybe foster more devotion to paying for what we read in terms of news coverage. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Gordon and Sandifer Auto Garage wouldn't be in business if every time I needed something done to my truck, my next door neighbor said, "Well, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that," and he could do it, and you know, did as good a job as Gordon and Sandifer. Gordon and Sandifer would be out of business. The other thing, Gordon and Sandifer, it's just they're not even a reality show. They're a sitcom, and they've been going on for so long, except they'd be a sitcom for sober sides, people who are very serious. Not a lot of belly laughs in Gordon and Sandifer. They just do good work. But I got an essay. I can't remember if I did this for NPR or if it's just an essay in my book, but I had the smell, you know, terrible smell in my truck. And so I took it in, and Winston LaPrairie was at the desk that morning. And I said, "Winston, I got a terrible smell in my truck. I think it's a leaking radiator core. Like I would know a radiator core if it jumped out at me." And Winston loved to hear his customers' diagnosis of their car's problems. So he said, "Well, we'll take a look at it, Ian." So, you know, a few hours later, I get this phone call. It's Winston LaPrairie, and he says, "Truck's ready." And I said, oh, great. How much, Winston?" And he said, "No charge." And I said, well, was it a leaking radiator, leaking coolant?" He said, "No, it was a lizard." I'd closed the door on a lizard and smushed it, and you know it stank. And,
Well, I want to make sure that I get in here for the folks at LSU. The LSU Book Bazaar is January 24th, 25th, and 26th.
Yeah.
And that's where you can buy books for a dollar. It's a huge, huge sale. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But Dan from downtown is on the line. And Happy New Year.
Some of the books are more than a dollar.
Okay.
But there are a lot of good buys.
Good sale for everyone to visit here in Baton Rouge. I know people look forward to it every year. Dan, good morning, and thank you for joining us on Talk Louisiana. You're on the line with Ed Cullen.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning. Mr. Cullen, do you think Senator Kennedy is the kind of person who, if you could buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, you'd have enough to retire on?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, not to sell him, well, yeah, I will sell him short, but a lot of people who don't know him love him. I mean, up in D.C., because he's just a wonderful soundbite. And
I was going to say, Ed, I think a lot of media people enjoy covering Senator Kennedy, too, because he's quite witty. And I just want to say, of course, I'm sure he believes he's putting a lot of work in for his state. So, but what a conversation we can have about some of the things he said in 2018.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He fits right in a long line of Louisiana politicians. Whether we vote for that person or not, we really do like and even encourage their differentness, because that was my problem. Well, big problem I had with getting essays on NPR on All Things Considered was convincing my editors that what I was talking about was real. I mean, they didn't believe Spanish Town Mardi Gras. They thought they understood New Orleans Mardi Gras, but they really didn't get Spanish Town.
Tell us about the LSU Book Bazaar. You're sort of helping to spread the word about that this year. What kind of things can we find there?
A lot of history, a lot of literature, a lot of popular authors. Good place to load up on John Grisham and Grafton and Patricia Cornwell, but probably one of the jewels of the sale is a rather large collection of books by Southern writers and or books about the South. And of course, there are a lot of cookbooks, a lot of art books, and they're priced to sell. I mean, the books that should require a premium, go for more than a dollar. But some days when I'm helping price books, the price markers just stand there and just go through these stacks of books like pancakes, writing $1 on the fly page.
And maybe you can even pick up a copy of Long Shot by Jeremy Alford and Tyler Bridges that you were referring to earlier.
There might be a
used copy of that possibly there.
There'll probably be several copies of that. it's been out a couple years.
Where is the sale? If people want to go, it's January 24th, 25th, and 26th, but where can they find it?
Right. It's where it's always been. It's in the Nelson Building behind the John M. Parker Ag Center, and that's part of it. And I didn't know there was another part until this year, but there's another part of the sale in the adjoining building. I guess I just never found that other building over the years. But those people work incredibly hard at the Book Barn. People are no longer allowed to walk in one day a week and buy textbooks. So it's a 3-day shot, and it's a great way to stock up on books. I mean, if you're a decorator or you've got a new house and you don't read, it's a great way to buy them by the pound.
In the short time that we have left, Ed, I know you've done a little camping this year. I think you got away to Texas a little bit for Christmas. You did a little camping in Louisiana. Tell us about your travels.
Yeah, Robert Collins, people will remember from his days on Channel 2, a reporter and anchor, and then at public television. He and I camp occasionally. He's much more the accomplished camper than I am. I just kind of go along. Kossatchie Bayou is beautiful. You enter south of Natchitoches. It was $2 a night, and we were in primitive campgrounds. $2 a night, and Robert's a Golden Eagle or something, and so he gets it a dollar a night. And, of course, yeah, we're getting it for a dollar a night. Between us, we've got like $2,000 in camping gear, but never mind. And it was just lovely. It was just really lovely. And then it started getting cold and rainy. Cold was okay, but the rain moved us on down the line, and we ended up in a wonderful cabin at Lake Chico in Chico State Park, and I would recommend that to anyone. Louisiana's got some fabulous campgrounds that have somehow managed to survive despite not getting enough money to really keep them in good repair.
And despite some storms, that's one of the blessings we can count in 2018. Ed Cullen, thank you for joining us this morning. You've been wonderful to have in conversation, leaving us with a good sense of humor. 2018 headed into 2019, we wish you all the best. And when we come back, we're going to talk with a Baton Rouge LSU band stalwart who hasn't missed a home game at Tiger Stadium in over 40 years. Steve Miley coming up next.